Well, good morning, everybody. And good morning, Devon. Hello there.
Hello.
Hi. Well, it looks like people are still logging on, and that's nice. And so there's a number of things I could talk about to kind of begin things. And Devon, you had some, are there any announcements or anything you want to bring about before we begin?
No, I think we've taken care of everything, really.
That's great.
So, yeah.
If there's anybody who wants to jump in with a question at the beginning or any comments or anything that's just on your mind, you can just hit 1 on the keypad if you want to jump in. Otherwise, a couple of things I might want to say. Oh, okay, we got something coming up. A couple of people want to chat this morning. Good morning, everybody. Did you want to say hello to everybody?
Sure.
We'll do a group hello.
Hello.
Hello. Good morning.
Hello.
Good morning.
Hello.
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 Hello. With people, and I've got a few things I want to cover as well, and I know you have something to bring up, Devon, so let's just start up.
Okay, I just had a couple of questions on behalf of one of the listeners. she was asking in regards to releasing fear and anger, how do you release feelings of low self-esteem or inadequacy?
Very good question. Let's start at one part and work to the next, okay?
Okay.
So, feelings of low self-esteem are symptoms of not expressing anger and not expressing other emotions, because internally based self-esteem starts with your own internal honesty, your integrity, your ability to be responsible, and your ability to trust yourself. This is love you earn from yourself. And so when there are low self-esteem issues, you got to look to say, where am I not being emotionally honest? Where am I not having integrity? Where am I not trusting myself? And where am I not being responsible? So I remember one friend years ago was always saying these things from very low self-esteem, you know, that she wasn't feeling pretty or that whatever it was. And when I stopped listening to this low self-esteem talking and said, okay, let's find out what you're really upset about, then all the issues came out. So low self-esteem is only a symptom of primarily lack of honesty, integrity, responsibility, and trust. Okay? What's the next part?
Actually, I think the next part is irrelevant based on the way you answered it. And the second question is, she wanted to get some advice from everybody regarding using Quantum Touch Level 1 for self-healing. So I think we could probably get that answered, like, through other people's questions and comments and stuff.
Okay.
So.
Sounds great.
Okay. So we'll go to Elizabeth. You have a question or a comment? Elizabeth?
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Yes. I have been practicing the recent information that you gave us on my clients, and I'm stuck on one case. It's an adult son living with his parents, and he came in with back pain and knee pain and all that.
Yeah.
And I discovered that the cause was due to his father suffering from Alzheimer's and him being very angry about all this.
Okay.
So we will do the procedure right to the end. But the problem is that he continues to live with his father.
Well,
and
this is
what if
the problem,
the future anger if the future anger will come up, will it be coming up all the time, or how do I go about this?
Well, you know, it's interesting, but children truly are victims, in the sense that if they live with abusive parents, you know, they're going to continue living with abusive parents. They don't have rights. And so it's difficult to fully release an emotion when the offending energies or things are still present, when it's still being triggered constantly, and you can't just move away or just meditate it out. Now, what are you asking about the future?
Sorry, I did not understand your question.
Well, you said future anger.
Yes, I mean, if he continues to live in the same household after we've gone through all the process and he starts getting angry again, what do we do? Do we continue clearing the anger, or is there a solution?
I don't know. You know, I'd have to understand the situation better. I don't know what his options are. I don't know how old he is. I don't know what, you know.
Yeah, he's in his 30s. He's got his own business. And,
and so, you know, if he has his business and he's in his 30s and it's too painful to be there, maybe he should, you know, get somebody else to take care of his dad.
Okay.
You know, I mean, just some physical options, you know, like, well, change your situation, right?
Yeah. And another thing, childhood scoliosis, you know, at 4 or 5 years old.
Right.
Is this an emotional issue?
You know.
Or can it be?
Everything, the whole reality, to my understanding, is an emotional issue. But the question is, how do we deal with it? How do we access it? How do we, you know, work with it? That's really what it comes down to. And it may be, you know, this is a process designed for adults to use.
Yes.
And so I would be looking, actually, at the parents and helping them heal their issues. Now, I knew a case years and years ago. This was like back around the early 80s, where the parents had a child who was autistic, and they thought it was an amazing coincidence because each of them was a teacher to autistic children, and they had some readings with that teacher I talked about named Lazarus, private readings, and they said, "What's going on here?" And Lazarus looked at them and said, "Well, each of you, for quite unique reasons, didn't feel emotionally capable of bringing up a healthy child, and so you both chose to have an autistic child because you had your own reasons." And he gave them emotional processing techniques to use, and some of the stuff I'm giving you were based on some of those techniques. And they processed their emotions, and then they spoke mentally to the child and said, "You know, if you want to be cognitive and smart and, you know, have a full life, you know, we will totally embrace you doing that." And the child started learning and was able to enter school at his age level, grade level, and had a normal lifetime. The parents had changed sufficiently. And so I would be looking to the parents, you know, and helping them heal their issues around the scoliosis. What's up for them about it? And if they do that, I'm not saying this is absolutely going to work, but I think there's a chance it could, that the child would not need to have the scoliosis, because I think that family dynamics are such that people act out their roles.
Mm-hmm. This particular girl, I'm calling from Greece, and here in Greece, when children have scoliosis, they put those horrible, hard jackets on them and make them sleep in them. And I was, through Quantum Touch, I was able to get rid of those horrible jackets to about 10 children. And this one, I tried to talk to her, and I said, "Well, did anything happen to upset you just before you got the scoliosis?"
Right.
And she said, "Yes, so the only thing that happened was that my sister twisted my finger and nearly broke it off, and I was very angry." Is this something I should look into, or should
you
I...
You could, but, you know, I think that... I think that's a symptom of the dysfunction of the family, because an injury, you know, children have injuries all the time, and they can be, you know, happy kids with broken arms, and they just move on, and their life is great. But the dysfunction of the family that would cause that much violence between the siblings seems like a more interesting issue. And by the way, Elizabeth, if you could please write up your story about the children having to wear the night braces and getting better, we'd love to publish that in one of our newsletters. It's a great story.
Okay. And just one last thing. I tried to look up Lazaz on the website, on the web, and I couldn't find the website.
LAZARIS.com.
Okay. Thank you.
You bet.
Okay, do we want to hear from Bea?
Hi.
Hi.
Hi, Richard. Hi, everybody. I have a question that is, when you have a child that was abused and cannot remember even that was abused but has symptoms of having been, what do we do? We would use the same thing about dealing with the parents that you were talking?
Well, if it's a child you're dealing with, yes, I would definitely work with the parents. And also,
an adult?
If it's an adult, there will be other situations in their life that will have the resonance of the abuse.
Mm-hmm.
So the abuse happened when they were, say, two, and they're not going to remember it. Maybe the abuse continued, but they blocked it out. But there are relationships and other abusive experiences they will continue to have, and they can start processing those, and those will have a resonance to the earlier one.
And how would you work doing the questions? I understand what you said, okay?
Yeah. How I'd work is I would be taking the physical symptoms in their body and finding resonant issues that are affecting their physical symptoms now, and use what they can remember and work from there.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Thank you very much.
Yeah, very good. I find it kind of interesting that the questions coming up now are not so much about, I mean, so far today, not about your own issues, but about helping other people deal with their issues. And realize, of course, in this work, first you want to get as good as you possibly can dealing with your own stuff. And then you want to see, you know, take it out and work with other people too. And, you know, there are times when it's very challenging to figure out what somebody else is going through. And but usually with, you know, enough time and effort, you can help find them. Now, that's not to say everybody's going to be willing to do their processing. And it is an act of courage, as we've said many times, to do that. Okay, let's move on.
Okay, let's hear from Karen.
Hello, good morning.
Good morning.
Well, the following dynamics that I found, they're pretty interesting. One thing is, I'm finding, now that I know the process, I do know the outcome in the end, but I'm finding there's a resistance to go there into the processing to find my own cause, because then it's my own thing again.
That's why you're what?
Because it's always my own thing again.
Of course, yeah. It's...
So now I'm finding there's a resistance, like, hey, do I really want to know?
Yeah, I know. That's the terrible thing about this, is like, God, do I really want to have to experience all this and know all that again?
Yeah.
Exactly.
Like sometimes the issue, especially when it goes back to the, let's say, 3-year-old and 4-year-old,
yeah,
so silly. It's like, oh, my God. The kind of stuff we make up as 3- and 4-year-olds, it's phenomenal.
Yeah, exactly.
So I'm finding there's a resistance, like, maybe I don't want to go into processing that past because I'm finding out where I was the silly one in the first place.
Well, that's part of it, but you also find out all the stuff that, you know, has blocked you, too.
Oh, yeah, oh, you definitely do.
Yeah.
The other thing that I am finding is, on some of the issues that I have worked on already, how much more layered they are.
Yeah.
From very early on, where I always knew they weren't finished processing, and I'm actually surprised how much more there is to it.
Exactly. Exactly.
Any more angles, the 3-year-old or the 4-year-old is already processing how layered and how complex the 3- and 4-year-olds are actually are. They're not as simple as we think, oh, little kid. They will get over it. There's the full dynamics going on there, the full complexity.
Exactly. Well, now you're becoming fully yourself, too,
yeah.
Because you're not keeping all that stuff buried.
No, it's that. Oh, the other thing is, I noticed that things are starting to come up for me out of the body on their own.
Wow.
Some of the body starts showing me, hey, look, how about working on this one, and how about working on this one? So there were 4 different old injuries showed up. And I'm like, oh, my God, I don't even have that much time right now to process all of that, because when I started processing one, it's like, hey, this is way more layered than I thought.
Yeah, yeah.
So I couldn't even in this 1 week, I couldn't even process that as much as I wanted to. So this processing stuff takes time. So I'm also finding sometimes you process one layer, you do find there's another layer. It takes some time. It's like you do need a break in between.
Yeah, that's a good idea. Yeah. Don't try to do everything at once.
Yeah, that's not possible, because then in the end, out of every resolution, there's the growth, the insight.
Exactly.
So it's not possible to grow in all one shot, right? So definitely I'm finding the processing is taking time. Sometimes you just have to let it chew up on their own time. You can't force it. I'm finding I can't force it.
That's very wise.
Mm-hmm. So it is working. It is working. It is working. And I'm finding maybe it's a little slower than I expected it.
Well, you know, I'm really grateful that you're actually taking the time to work on yourself that way, because it's a courageous thing to do.
It is. Yes, it is. It really is. I'm finding that too. And I did find the resistance there. Like, hey, do I really want to know?
Exactly, but you're moving through it, and that's what matters.
Okay. That's my experience.
Well, congratulations, and keep going. This is great.
Oh, I will. I can't stop now.
I know. It's just like, once you get started, you don't want to...
Well, you don't want to... Not only that, if in my case, my body is responding to releasing, there's a high risk of re-injuries. I don't want to do that.
Yeah.
Because the resonance, as you talked about, the resonance is there. So then to create something similar, that possibility is always there. So it's like, well, so you look at that too and be like, whoa, I don't want to go there again.
Exactly.
So it's an interesting dynamic.
Fantastic.
Okay.
All right.
Okay, yeah. let's hear from Sandy. Go ahead.
Yeah, good evening. Good morning.
Good morning.
Well, actually, I've made, I don't remember exactly, but 4 or 3 times the process on different subjects. And actually, my experience is, in fact, that I have a question.
Okay.
When I've processed the emotion, I remember about an experience which was a very intense fear, and I didn't actually remember how to process this kind of emotion. So that would be much more a question for me than a real feedback. But how do we manage with fear? Because it was a very, very intense fear that I had a very difficult time at that moment to manage with it.
I think that if you're dealing with an infant fear, it might be good to just hold the baby. You know, hold the infant and run energy.
So it would be much more energy work healing.
I think at that point, when it's just pure fear, but if you have a name for the fear, then you can deal with it more specifically.
Actually, I could see a scene when I was younger in which I was threatened by a group of young people, and one of them was just threatening me with a knife.
Yeah.
So I had a very, very intense fear, and this fear just manifested again when I've done the process. And
I
had many difficulties to manage with it because I had no idea to manage with it.
Unless that's been a theme coming up in your life many times, what I would do is I would just go back in time, bring the adult, and have him take care of the situation and say, you will not hold a knife, and just, you know, take the knife away and say, you will not threaten this child, and just create a new past, because you can just go in and fix it. Still there?
Hello?
Hello.
Andy, are you still there?
Sorry?
Oh, we might. I think we lost you for a second. Did you hear what Richard said?
Yeah. Thank you.
You're very welcome.
Okay, let's go to Judy.
Okay, hi.
Hey, Judy.
Hi, Richard. So I had a couple questions, and the first one was, what if the, well, you said that you're supposed to process the anger at others first before you process the self-anger?
Exactly.
So that sounds great, but what if the situation that you go back to, the emotional causation, there is only you, or me, whether there's only me there, I'm the only, I made a certain decision, and things happened, and it was really only me that I'm angry at.
Well, then that's it. Then just process yourself. But I doubt that that's likely, although it's possible, because, you know, if I've done something stupid and I hurt other people and I feel remorse, then I just go straight into the remorse and forgive. You know, yes, I did this. I realize I did it. I'm angry at myself. Yes, I am. But I'm going to feel the remorse, and I'm going to go in and change it. And that's good.
Okay, yeah, because that's what happened when I spoke last week, where I really went in this serious self-hatred downward spiral, because I was just so angry at myself, you know, and it was like I had nowhere else to turn it.
Yeah.
So instead of kind of doing maybe that whole process
I would be really sure that you're not angry at other people first. I mean, really sure that there isn't someone else that set you off on that track. In other words, if, for example, I had betrayed a friend, and I really see how much damage I did through that betrayal, and I did that all by myself, and there was nobody there, and who else would I be angry at? Yeah, but where did you learn that? Where did you learn to be that way? How did you come to make that decision? Who influenced you to bring you to that point where you could do something that was damaging?
That makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, that's where the anger's hiding. That's the dirt under the rug, you know.
Okay. Well, that really is helpful because, you know, because I wasn't able to really see the whole picture, like you're just saying, who else could have, you know, where did I learn that?
Yeah.
Yeah. So okay. So that's really helpful. Thank you. Did I learn that? Okay. And then the other question is, so I did a thing yesterday and processed the whole thing, and it was an issue about my mom anyway, but and something that she was doing, and of course I was a child and I couldn't leave and blah blah blah. So I, you know, did all the whole anger thing and did all that process part. But then I got to the point where it's like I'm supposed to have the insight of how I did that to myself, and I was having a lot of trouble because it was like, well, but you know, she was doing this thing, and I had to live there. I was a kid, and how was that my fault? So I couldn't really. It was very difficult to get. You know, I had to kind of just think, okay, well, I just went into ego. I went into, maybe that was my karmic thing. I chose to come into this family, this lifetime. I mean, that's where I had to go, because I couldn't.
You're going too far back. Here's the thing. Yes, that happened to you as a child. But you have been continuing that pattern to this day, right? You have been hurting yourself by continuing that pattern to today. That's where the
Okay, well, let me just tell you because I'm still a little confused.
All right.
So she was a really heavy smoker.
All right.
All right, and I just absolutely couldn't breathe. I hated it. I was so angry and had to hide in my room and the whole thing.
Okay.
And so and finally she quit like 15 years ago or whatever. And I don't ever hang around with smokers. I never have.
Right.
God and forbidden my whole life ever even tried it. So this one, you know, feels like it was really a thing that was happening, although even after my adult life, I would hardly ever go home and visit. But now I say for 10 or 15 years, she hasn't. She quit, and she lives actually in another state. But that one, so like I said, that was the issue, was like I just couldn't breathe. I hated it. I was so angry.
I'm just kind of generalizing and jumping to some conclusions, but you know, it doesn't really how I would do the process, but I'm trying to help you come to an insight right now. So I might not be completely accurate. But in some sense, she was being very disrespectful to you.
Yes.
So if you look at the issue of disrespectfulness, you know, who are you disrespectful to, or who's being disrespectful to you? And that's the pattern that gets forgiven. So if you look at the theme of what she was doing, so if you would come up with all the words, you'd say, she wasn't respecting my complaining about her cigarettes, right?
Right.
So the disrespectful issue and other things like that may be where the pattern continues in your life.
Oh, absolutely. And even with her in other areas.
Okay. And so to the extent that you keep continuing to attract other people, or that you are disrespectful to yourself, or possibly to other people. How are you disrespecting yourself? How are you continuing that pattern inside you now? That's what the remorse and the forgiveness become about.
Okay. Wow.
Doing for yourself what you know is healthy and good, and not putting yourself in really good situations or whatever it is, or not treating, you know, I don't know your patterns, but, you know, mom wasn't respecting you, and now you don't respect
her
in some ways.
So that's really like this whole huge thing. That's an incredible answer, because, you know, I was just looking at the actual thing instead of kind of like, well, what is that about?
It's
about being disrespectful.
Yeah. What this class, to a large extent, is teaching you how to think, but not what to think. A way of thinking through things in a new way, so we can come up with new insight and discovery and process. And so coming up with the theme of the story can sometimes really help you get to the bottom of what's really going on here. And that's why asking all those questions are so valuable, because if the word respect comes up, you know, then that could be a big clue. And there may be other words too that come up in that whole scenario.
Well, and the thing that was really interesting was I started with a different issue entirely, and then like you said before, sometimes you know you start working with that, and then you realize, or you go back, or you get even to something else that was really more of what was the problem.
Exactly.
And that's what happened with this, but then I didn't go further to ask, well, what was that about?
And that's why learning how to think through these things and work with the questions can be so valuable. And by the way, you did a really good job of, first off, not telling us the story, which was great. And then when you did, you kept it so short and so concise that we just got the gist of what we needed to know without having to go into, you know, the 30-minute version of it.
Yes, I could probably go on for hours, but
yeah, and everybody could. Yeah. But you did a great job of being able to give us enough information that we could work with your story without having to, you know all the ins and outs of it, which is fortunately not even helpful for us to a large extent, because it just gets in the way of us getting right to the core.
Right. Well, thank you so much. I really appreciate it, because I'm just so thankful that first of all, that I'm able to take this class and then to be able to ask these questions. And it's just so amazing, as everyone says, and you know already, but I'm so grateful.
I'm so glad you have some new and wonderful insights to work with now.
Yes, absolutely. Thank you.
You bet.
Okay, let's hear from Marcel.
Good morning, Richard. Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
First, thank you for all the feedback you've been giving people, because things are starting to click for me. I found myself this past week being in a morass of anger and of helplessness, of like cutting off practically everyone and everything, and realizing that this has been a pattern throughout my life.
Yeah.
And in some ways I've indulged in it, in the sense I was like, okay, I've been so good at tolerating situation, let me just really experience my anger. And as you were giving feedback to people this morning, I realized a connection to much earlier experiences, and I'm starting to shake as I'm saying that, like wars and revolutions and sexual abuse, literally where I've been, like, I could not speak, I could not say anything, literally the helplessness, so I'm just feeling it all over at this point. So even though I'm crying, but it's like, it's in a sense a release, because I'm also realizing how much my way of dealing with the situation at the time has just pervaded my whole life.
Yes.
And I've cut myself off from, like, shining professionally, doing things, like going back and, like shrinking back. So I'll continue the process.
Yeah, yeah, and I'm so glad for you that you're willing to take on this huge amount of emotional stuff that's been buried and to start working with it. Because it's going to completely turn your life into a different pattern and a different way of being.
Yeah, I trust so.
Yeah, I think it's not only courageous, but it's wonderful.
Thanks, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm really aware of this. And thank you for being there.
Well, you're doing the work, so thank you. Devin, who's next? Hello, hello. Hello, Devin?
Sorry.
Yeah.
Sorry, I'm talking and you can't hear me. We have Kathy on the line.
Okay.
Sorry. Hi. I have mostly a comment to what my week has been like.
Okay.
I decided to set aside, you know, this would be my priority this week to work on these issues. What I have is spondylitis and spinal stenosis. And there, so I went back last week on your phone conversation with Padman to figure out the genesis of it, or the emotion at that time. And at that point we came up with divorce, and I said, no, this just doesn't work, this is not resonating with me.
Okay.
But then when I worked on it all week long, it was the money issues from the divorce that came back and ended up being the crux of the whole thing. But I went through processing my mother, my anger at her. I went through processing my shame with my ex and my anger at my ex.
Yeah.
And it was also because you had talked about tolerance. I'm such a tolerant person. I have never expressed anger in my entire life.
Wow.
Because I grew up with parents that anger just wasn't accepted in the household. There was no anger from them. And it just wasn't accepted. So I never even knew how to be angry. And even though I had an ex that was very domineering and manipulative and and controlling, I still didn't know how to get angry at him. So I did finally, after we split up, I was able to do it. So I have processed over the last 10, 12 years, I've processed some of this stuff. But to go back into it this week with some more of your insights and your process helped me to get deeper down into it. And, you know, each time I would process an anger, I did the angry letter with my mother and with my ex, and I burnt them up, and then I went through the process. It didn't quite feel finished. And then this morning, speaking with my boyfriend, we came up with, we got right on the money thing. And we realized how that's been running my life for years now. And so I came upstairs and I processed that all this morning. And I feel so much better.
Fantastic.
But wow. It was interesting how it was so layered and complex. I had to go from one thing to another and process each one. And including myself. I processed myself in there too, and the anger at me for putting up with all this and agreeing to be like that or whatever. So that was good too.
Wow. That's powerful stuff. That's like monumental that you were able to start accessing that core anger that's been driving your life all that time, but just buried. And how it twists you up, you know, how it cripples you in a sense. How it, you know, limited your mobility through your spine and all.
It sure has, because I'm a dancer and I can't even dance now.
So that which you love has been not accessible to you.
Yeah.
Wow, that's powerful stuff. And, you know, have you started to see any shifts of symptoms yet?
It's hard to tell.
Okay.
It's hard to tell. Because I went to Ecuador for the month of April, and I had a shamanic experience and a shamanic cleansing. And boy, did I get cleansed, and did I release. And I released so many blocks. And I think a lot, it started there. It really started releasing because I could start to feel the let up on my back at that point. So it's slowly getting better.
So it's showing itself to improvement.
Yeah. And now it's just too soon because I just did this last processing this morning.
Okay, well, sometimes there's like an instant shift. But, you know, whether there is or not, you're on track, and that's what really matters.
Oh, well, actually, I feel really good right now, but it's one of those things that comes and goes.
Oh, I see. So you wouldn't know. Because
yeah, that's what I mean. I don't know. Yeah.
So this is sort of like as good as it usually feels ever?
Right now, it's fantastic. But I've had
Well, I would venture a guess and say it's because you did the processing.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, and, you know, so your goods will be better and the bads won't be as bad.
Mm-hmm.
The bad days won't be as bad. That's my guess, is that you're really shifting it now.
Mm-hmm.
And as you embrace the anger, as you embrace the ability, not the need to always be angry, you don't have an identification as an angry person, but as you embrace the value, because what's underneath all that anger was a lot of love, right?
Yeah. Oh, and I ended by sending quantum love to everybody, as each person, my mom, the ex, and myself.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And that was a really great way to end. And it was interesting because at one point I couldn't send any love to my mother.
Mm-hmm.
Even after I processed her, I couldn't. That was a couple of days ago.
Yeah.
So I did it again this morning or last night with a photograph of her. And then at first I started when she was a child because I just couldn't do it when she was a mother. So I sent love to her as a child, and that worked. And then I took the photograph of her right before she died, and I was able to then do it.
Beautiful.
Send her love.
Beautiful. Wow, congratulations. Good work.
Thanks, and thanks for your help.
Going. Yeah, well, you're coming alive. I mean, this is so exciting that, you know, here you had a lifetime of not expressing, and now you're expressing.
Yeah.
And that's
yeah.
just a whole different world.
Yeah.
Excellent.
Okay, let's hear from Kim.
Can you hear me?
We do. Okay. Wait. Now we're not hearing you now. Okay. Hello, Kim.
Can you hear me now?
That's better. Okay. No. Kim, it's not working. It's sort of like when you say, "Can you hear me?" It sounds good, but then when you start talking, it goes away. Can you try it again in a different way? Hello, Kim.
Can you hear me now?
Well, I hear the "Can you hear me now" part, but I don't know if I can hear you afterwards.
Okay. So, and when I write a letter,
yes.
and I hide it, and I do that 3 days ago, do I do anything after I've written a letter between each day, or do I take myself all the way off each day?
Okay. So my understanding of what you said, because you're still kind of breaking up a lot, are you on like a cell phone or something?
I'm on Skype, but I have no other way to call.
Okay, that's fine. Yeah, it's just, all right. So my understanding of what you just asked was, after you've burned the letter, and then there's something else after that.
The day in between of the letter.
What's that, Devin?
What I understand her to say is... Okay, go ahead, Kim.
Yeah, I write the letter one day,
yeah,
and then I hide it.
Right.
After I've hidden the letter that first day,
yeah,
do I go ahead and take myself all the way through the process?
Yeah, no, what
or
you
do
is... okay, on the hate letter, what you're doing is you write the letter, you hide it. You read it the second day and make it stronger. And then you hide it again. And then you read it the third day and just really let yourself feel it intensely, then you burn it. And then reevaluate where you are, and you know, if you need to do other anger processing, you might use another technique, or if you're done, you can move on with the rest of the process.
So what I found was it kept me in the emotions for 3 days.
Yeah, I can do that.
So by hiding it, it just felt like there was this looming intense emotion there for the 3 days. Is that normal? I mean, is that...
Yeah, that can be there because it's a metaphor. It's a ritual. It's a ritual for the fact that we hide our emotions from ourselves and we stew in them.
Okay.
But, you know, you could also just hide the letter and try to forget about it while it's hidden. Or, in your case, you know, you're kind of stewing in it. But the value of stewing in it for those 3 days is it brings it right up to the surface where you can release it with, you know, a roar as opposed to a whimper.
What it did actually was take me through layers. Like I thought it was about what was going on was about something more recent or something happened 2 years ago.
Yeah.
But as each day I saw a resonance to childhood.
Okay.
Wow, these are the exact words I'd use for childhood. So I dive into the childhood layer. And then the next day it was another layer of childhood.
Okay.
So
But
the stewing in it may just be what happens, is what I'm hearing.
Yeah, I think that could be part of the process. And that could be valuable because it's going to bring up more stuff for you.
Yeah.
Yeah,
and
that's great. That's excellent.
Okay.
Thank you, Kim. Yeah.
Okay, Karina?
Yes. Hi, Richard.
Hi, Karina.
Hi. My experience was actually was interesting because even though we call it kind of meditated out,
uh-huh,
what I really got from that was actually it's not just, you know, go back in and visualize it differently. It really is happening.
Yes, it is.
And do you know, and the way that I got that, I mean, it is actually happening exactly as you play it out. And
mm-hmm,
I uncovered an anger that I didn't even know was there, and I was amazed by the roar that came out.
Yes.
And after, I mean, it was really, really intense. And afterwards, I had a really sore throat. I mean, it was as if I had done it physically.
Yes.
And I had that sore throat for a couple of days, as if I had roared physically, and I realized, well, you did.
Yes. Yeah.
So it is actually happening.
Yes, exactly.
You know, but it was, I kind of knew that, but it was nice to get the feedback in a physical way.
Absolutely. Good work.
Yeah, it was, and then a couple of other people popped into the scenario that I wasn't expecting them to show up.
Mm-hmm.
And I wondered, is it okay to kind of go express your anger in a group mentality way, or do you think one at a time is better?
I think you should be creative.
Yeah.
I think you should follow your wisdom, follow your flow, follow your intuition, and do what seems really appropriate in the situation and not try to follow too many of my rules.
Because
if there's a group of people involved, like if you had some tormentors or something and you wanted to really let out all of them how it felt, then it's appropriate. And if it feels like, well, that was too much, I can't do that, then that's appropriate too. Just do one at a time. So just follow your own guidance on this one, because, you know, you're getting there. And isn't it surprising how much more emotion, and this goes for a lot of people, when and what you're saying, when you go back to that situation, it is really happening now. It actually is.
Yeah.
And, you know, the quantum physicists say that all time is actually simultaneous. Well, it is. It's all happening now. And that's why our past is still so alive when you haven't finished it. When you finish the past, it transforms.
Yeah. It's incredible, actually, isn't it? I mean, it's one thing knowing something on an intellectual level and then actually experiencing that it is. You're in that meditation and it is actually happening.
Yes.
You know, the event. So, yeah, that was a really interesting insight. I was amazed at how immediately after the kind of roar had happened, my throat felt like I had roared.
Yes. Well, it's funny. I chosen that word at that moment. You were
yeah.
the next caller.
Yeah. Yeah. So that was interesting. I wanted to share that.
Wow. I really appreciate that. And congratulations on opening all these doors.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Okay, let's hear from Jan.
Oh, hi. Good morning.
Hi, Jan.
Oh, hi. Just a comment on my experience during the week. It's been really interesting. I started off with an issue that I had worked on with Kim and kind of really nutted that out. And the topic that kept coming up for me during the week was about toleration. And it was just so weird because I made some decisions, you know, like, you know, cancelling some client stuff and pushing back on requests and things like that. And I just got this enormous amount of just anger coming back at me, which helped to bring up a whole bunch of other stuff that I needed to work on. So I've just been processing and processing all week and just thinking how interesting it is that the universe is, you know, I don't know, maybe I created it by my actions. But boy, was I getting a lot of anger back from, you know, from people. And, you know, I was going through all these different emotions. And, you know, I was really incredibly disappointed all week and then kind of processed some of that and then kind of quickly moved on to resentment and, mm-hmm. and, you know, it was processing that. It just feels like I've been slogging through the mud all week.
Well, you know, sometimes when you open that door, the floodgate comes in and you see what's been there all along. But ideally, mm-hmm. you'll start feeling like you're clearing it out, like you're really relieved that this one is over and you don't have to feel that one anymore and so forth. And so, yeah, all that can happen. And that's can be part of the process. It's kind of like I really believe our higher consciousness, our higher self, wants us to be emotionally healthy. And it's a much higher priority than being physically healthy. That's why, you know, people may have the big insight why they got the cancer on their deathbed. There was a whole research that had people who died of cancer and, oh my God, that's why I got the cancer. And they just had this big insight before they died that all that emotion, because the insight was more important, the discovery, the process was more important than your physical life. And so this is our top priority in our life, is getting emotionally clear. And all the rest of the stuff, the money and the issue, the things we deal with and the successes and everything, that's just all secondary stuff. What really matters is the love and getting back to our spiritual source, getting back to our connection with ourself, our higher self, because that's what it's really all about. And this work starts opening that door in a real way. I've heard it said that honesty is the accelerator pedal to spiritual growth. That's really what does it. And as we're becoming more and more honest with ourselves, our growth is accelerating and getting faster. And sometimes that process will bring up a lot of unfinished emotion, especially at the beginning.
Yeah. I guess what occurred to me during the week, because I was just getting this wall of anger back from other people, was, you know, had I gone too far with taking a stand for myself, so to speak?
It could be that you have a lot of unwritten contracts with other people that I won't stand up for myself, I won't be real, I won't tell you what I feel, I won't access my own emotion, and that this happens to a lot of people, that they start hitting that wall with the people that say, wait a second, you're not following the contract that we have.
Yeah.
of how we do things together. You're breaking our
being
contract.
Available.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it was like, why are you doing, it was that, you know, this is what I was getting back from, you know, them in brief, was like variants on, how can you not make yourself available to me? We had an agreement. Or, you know, why are you doing this to me? I'm trying to...
Here's what I would suggest, is look at all the people that have been upset with you lately. And look at the themes. Look at what they're saying. Look at what the story is. And start looking at the thematic information coming through. Because there's going to be some whispers in that. You see, you can look at the emotional causes of physical conditions. And then you can use the same questions to say, okay, why is my business failing? Or why is the marriage failing? Or whatever it is that you're having problems with. But you can also look at the five people who were angry at you this last week and say, okay, what's going on here? What's the theme that they're saying? You know, what are they showing me about my reality? And you might find some really interesting things that way.
Oh, I did come to some conclusions about that, and it's like they want me to be the way that they want me to be,
okay,
which doesn't allow me to be me.
And so what was happening in your new process is you're allowing yourself to be you. And they're saying, wait a second, how dare you break our contract? How dare you break our contract? We don't want you to be you. We want you to be who we want you to be.
Yeah, well, it certainly brought up a healing response. All of a sudden, I've just broken out in a rash all over my body.
Well, okay, so listen to what you just said. I'm broken out. It's like you want to break out, right?
Yeah.
So you want to break out of that confined quality that they're all wanting you to be what you know, and no, you've got to break out.
Yeah, I do.
Yeah. And, you know, if a rash itches, I'm itching to break out.
I am.
You know? It's like, okay, I get the message. I don't have to itch now.
Yeah, I just want this to be over. I just really want to process it, you know? And I don't know if I'll ever get back to the place I was in, you know, and that's kind of scary.
Well, what do you mean the place you were in?
Well, you know, I thought I was kind of happy and laid back and, you know, could take everything on and be strong, you know,
well,
for other people.
Do you mean tolerate?
Doormat. Yeah.
Oh, doormat. Okay, yes.
Doormat.
And you know what? No, you can't go back and be a doormat. Sorry.
Yeah,
it's not going to work. It's not going to work for you anymore.
People.
it's not going to work for you anymore to be a doormat. Sorry about that. But and you may have to go through these angry people to get to the other side of it. But when you do, you'll find people that you don't need to be a doormat around, and they'll be real friends.
Yeah, bring that on.
Exactly.
Thank you so much.
Oh, yeah, thank you. That's a good one.
Thank you so very much for this process. It's amazing.
Yeah, it takes you there.
It does. Thank you.
Well, the tragedy of not being able to go back and be a doormat anymore. It just breaks my heart.
I know. Yeah, I'm crying as we speak.
I know. I hear it. I hear it. I hear that sadness in your voice. Yes. Okay.
Thank
very
you
good.
So
yeah, you bet.
Okay, let's hear from Christmas.
Hello.
Hello.
Oh, hi. I just think it's so interesting that sometimes we can't hear ourselves in our own words.
Mm-hmm.
Just doing it last week with another person, and just today, this morning, the gal said that she finally broke through with the money after talking to her boyfriend. And then you just saying, see with the rash you're breaking out.
Yeah.
I think it really is sometimes when we do get stuck in this process, it's very helpful whether it's somebody we know or don't know.
Yes.
Maybe somebody that we don't know is even better, but that we can say these things to, that can read our words back to us, and just, whoa, I really said that, and that's what it meant, you know, it meant to me. And for me, that process really worked and has been helpful than just trying to do it totally on my own. Because as people read back the words to
mm-hmm.
me that I'm saying, it just opens up this insight that is so unbelievable, and then you can move on with the process.
I totally concur. And, you know, I first discovered emotional causes in the early 80s, and I think I taught a workshop in about 1984. And we had about 12 people in the room, and I was showing them how to do some emotional processing and how to find emotional causes. But I didn't know my seven steps. I just knew how to do the release work. So it wasn't as good a class. And in the class, I said, all right, ask yourself these questions and see how it works out. And I said, how many of you had an insight? One hand goes up. And then I had other people work with each other. And how many of you had insights? Every hand went up. And it was really a funny little story in that particular class. There was a 14-year-old boy who was working with a psychotherapist. And he helped the psychotherapist have a massive insight about his life. And the
mm-hmm.
psychotherapist discovered this emotional pain he hadn't dealt with. And when he did that, his wrist heated up. And the psychotherapist said, oh, my God, I don't have any pain in my wrist anymore. And the kid was so proud that he had helped, you know, a psychotherapist heal himself. I think it probably changed his life because
yeah.
he was just glowing that he had helped somebody come up with a major insight.
It is. It is really, you know, rewarding on that other end to, like you said, to be the receiving to help that person.
Yeah.
But anyway, I just
but you're right.
continue to be amazed at the insights that you bring forth. I'm just jotting down notes as quick as I can, but it is. It's those words that we say that just tell our true story. So I just
and you're right. It's so much easier to work with somebody else. And that's why I say, yeah, you can do this on yourself, but just take more time and just be more careful, you know, and then read them back and kind of like be more detached from yourself when you're reading them back and say, what am I really saying here? You know, just really listen to your words and write, jot everything down. And the more words we jot down when we're taking notes for a person, the more likely we are to come up with the big insights. That's why I keep asking the question,
amazing.
Well, what other symptoms? What other symptoms? What other symptoms? What other emotions do you feel? What other emotions do you feel? And sometimes when you're asking the questions, the person is answering other questions you would have asked. In other words, say, what other symptoms? And they'll tell you, well, it's keeping me from doing X, Y, or Z, or it's forcing me to do something different. And you write those down too, because those were questions mm-hmm. that could come up later, but they just answered them right then.
Right. That's great. Well, thank you. I just absolutely love it. I think every single step is so important, and putting it all together really is key from every other modality that I've seen on this. Just brings it all together in such a great way.
Yeah, it's
great
really,
way, so.
It really astounded me that these obvious steps, once you see the order that they're in, therapy has to have these steps. There's just no way around it. And you look at the various therapies and you can analyze them and say, oh, you jumped to number 4. Oh, you jumped to number 3. You started on number 5. You know, and you know, you just got stuck on number 1 and 2, or just stuck on number 2, and just do
or
release.
Or they finally get the discovery, and that's where they end. They don't do anything with it.
Or they just get lost in release. Now, I have a friend who believes that. He's studying something called primal therapy. And the primal therapy says you just keep re-experiencing the trauma enough times and eventually it's not in your body anymore and it no longer exists. And I was arguing with him, saying, well, maybe it just builds your identity of being the person who was harmed, who was wronged. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, we had that discussion, and that led me to, did I tell you about my cat last week?
I don't think so.
Maybe this happened in the week. I kind of lose track of time. But what happened was, he and I were having this discussion. I was saying it's important to change the past at some point. It's not enough to just, you know, release the emotion about it. And so I adopted a rescue kitty, a little kitten. But she was overly needy. I never had a needy cat before. And it was just like constantly crawling all over me, doesn't give me space and so forth. But she's very affectionate, but it's out of need, not love, all the time. And so what I did was I did a meditation where I released emotion for her. I went back to when she was a little kitten, and then I used level 2 quantum touch, and I returned her. I saw her bottle fed, and I returned her to her mom, and there was this very happy reunion of her coming back to her mother, and I sent a lot of level 2 energy to her. That afternoon when I came back to the house, she was so comfortable within herself. She's sitting on the other side of the room or on the couch 6 feet away from me. She didn't come visit me the rest of the day. She didn't crawl on me at all. And I mean, I loved, and now she's like, you know, like a week later, now she's, she goes through these 3-4 minute periods of intense affection, and then she wants to be on her own. So it's a very different cat. So yes, going back, processing the emotion. Now, do I really think that it's appropriate to do that for other people? Not yet. I don't think that's where that belongs. And I'm going to be working on understanding a therapeutic model for linking level 2, level 1, and self-created health. But I'm just exploring how and where it all fits together. So that's where I'm thinking, where I am right now. But it made a huge difference in her behavior, and she's a much more contented cat now.
Great. Well, thank you so much. Anyway, I'm just enjoying the class so much and everybody's comments. So,
well, thank you.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. Yeah.
Okay, Barb.
I have to pass right now. Thanks.
Okay.
Okay. Venus.
Hi, Richard and all. I just want to share a little bit of the amazing experiences that I've had since last week.
Okay.
Basically amazing. I'm very grateful that you actually recommended and you gave example how you had this relationship with your mother and how she, you know, treated you. And I had similar things with my mother. So after I went through the suppressed anger and released all this and so on and so forth, actually, I met her in a local store, and I was thinking, who knows what kind of a thing she's going to do. She had a completely different behavior, and it has been ever since. So basically, I did the work on myself and magically changed, and it's been like that for the whole week. Like all these 42 years of whatever have been released. It's very amazing.
That's just remarkable. And, you know, not that I haven't heard and seen that story before, but it's just so striking how it happens over and over again, that you change yourself and the outer world changes. And so let's contrast this to another call we just had where you start processing yourself. Now everybody's going to be belligerent or difficult because you're just in the middle of that process, or you process it through and now the person in your life is behaving differently. It's amazing. Like, you know, my cat's different. It's just part of the process, and it's just, it's the magic of what it is, really.
Yes, and physically, throughout my life, I had on and off feeling of my right leg feeling basically pushed into the body. I always felt like if somebody just pushes it out and it clicks, it will be all fine. Otherwise, it would start pinching something and it feels in the whole right side and everywhere. Mm-hmm. And last Sunday, after I did just the first going through the process, and I even thought I didn't do it very successfully because I was sitting outside doing the self-love and the Ho'oponopono stuff.
Right.
And I said, you know, I'll repeat it and I'll do it again. What happened is at once, this kind of a heaviness that was in exactly the socket where the right leg gets into the body and the lower back was gone at once. And I have to say that I have done a lot of physical work, lifting and carrying heavy objects for the last week, and nothing has, so it's not because I've been doing something physical that
right.
this was the result. It was emotional, whatever, blockage that was
yeah.
holding it on. So it's been absolutely amazing, the whole thing. And then I also am very grateful that you suggested for those of us who had suppressed anger and tolerance for eternity and want to look at more to go to Lazarus. I actually did buy yesterday the recording and only have listened to the part about the anger, not the self-pity.
Yes.
But it's so many light bulbs that basically when he says, when you don't trust yourself to process your anger, you don't know how
yes.
to express it, have self-doubt. And I always had self-doubt. I would get the right message, like, what is it to do? It's completely unique, and I'll shred myself to bits to doubt myself, and this whole thing is gone. Although I haven't done much, I basically have listened while I went to the farmer's market and whatever to the recording in the car today, and
mm-hmm.
it just did much difference for me at once. And I have to say that my entire business and everything has shifted for the last week, although I have not talked to anybody, advertised, or done anything whatsoever physical on it.
Amazing. So your leg feels better, your relationship with your mother is better, your business is better, and you're feeling happier.
Yes.
So besides that, what are
and
you grateful
I
about?
I actually knew that there's an emotional blockage. However, it felt so ridiculous to me that I didn't even dare to go see what it is. So I'm so grateful to you for putting this self-created health because it is extremely important.
Yeah,
it's not a substitute for anything else.
Yeah, this is why I think it's my most profound workshop, because it really helps you take yourself back again. And, you know, and for those who may be challenged on using the process, and just stay with it. And, you know, I remember this is, and thank you, Venus. That's just so inspiring to hear you tell everybody what's going on.
I also want to say that actually last week, after, you know, between the self-created health and now, I also completed my Quantum Touch Level 1 class.
Oh, fantastic. So you're on fire now. This is great.
Yes, I am.
Wow. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
All right. You know, it brings up a thought that I have, because this is what it looks like when a person is really succeeding with the process. And also, remember in the last workshop we taught, there was one woman at the very end, she had been kind of quiet, and she spoke up, and she said, you know, I didn't do the process. I said, okay. And she explained that, she said, I don't want to do the process. All right. She said, but I'm grateful because now I know that when I'm ready and choose to do this processing, I have a map. I know exactly how to get there. We heard from someone else last time said, I'm stuck on step 3 or step 4 of the process. You know, I haven't gone through this step of, you know, but I know exactly where I am. And when I'm ready, I'll do that. So it's inspiring to know that even if a person isn't ready now, maybe they'll make the decision next week or next month or even next year to actually do the work. But it isn't easy work, and I do respect everybody who is doing it. Well, that's great. Thank you.
Okay, let's hear from Sue.
Thank you.
Can you
hear me okay?
Yes, I do.
Mm-hmm. Okay, thank you. I just want to say as well that this has been such an eye-opening experience. And I first took the self-created health because it was one of the criteria that I could take for the level one practitioner,
mm-hmm. yeah.
or, you know, the practitioner key. But it is so much more than that. So I am so glad that it is one of the offerings. I just wanted to say that just in listening to the conversations, that at first when I was working through it this week, I felt like, oh, I can't deal with this, because I felt like so many situations all of a sudden tumbled together and there was just a barrage. But then I realized as I was writing things out that it helped me narrow down that there was a common theme for a lot of these.
Yes.
And that was just huge in my, because I just felt like it was all 360 degrees. That was, but when you realize that there's a common theme, that that's why you were dealing with it in this way, it just, that alone was a huge shift for me, where I could breathe and actually start to deal with it. So,
wow.
So that process alone helped so much. I just am so glad that even though the common theme is that there's a lot of repressed anger or withdrawal or whatever, that we don't have to stay stuck in it. And that was just such a huge thing. So I'm very great. I'm grateful for the work you do. I'm grateful that you have brought it out with people's workshops throughout the world as well as through the teleconference, because this is what fits me best at this time. So thank you for this opportunity.
Well, thank you for sharing that. And, you know, it's really cool because we're starting to bring in the self-created health teachers now. So we're going to have those classes around the world in time. We're just starting to get the first self-created health teachers certified and ready
thank
to start
teaching.
Thank you
so much. That. I'm just
thank
so you. Excited that we – I just feel that this is a platform that the rest can just come together because we can trust the process. And you've given us a good framework.
Well,
it's to work inside ourselves to get to that basis is key. So thank you.
Well, thank you. I mean, I really appreciate you doing the work too.
Thanks.
Great. So.
Okay, let's hear from Karen.
Yes, hello again.
Hi, Karen.
Yes, hi, Richard and everybody else. I'd like to add, I definitely found that I get to a self-anger every single time.
Interesting.
So, that hasn't failed yet.
Well, you're accustomed to taking things out on yourself, huh?
Yeah, and there's a pattern in that.
Yeah, and it's not so safe being angry at others, is it?
Well, I'm finding, the self-anger happens instantly, but instead of, you know, the little kid doesn't know how to process, but then it's very easy to direct that at the next person or even the next object, the thing that's there. Because the little kid doesn't know how to process it.
So teach the child how to process it.
Yes.
I remember I knew a woman who was so angry, she would take it out on the mailman. You know, anybody within her range. She was like, you know, this.
Yeah. That's my point. When, depending on when something happened as a little kid, we get so conditioned that we're in an autopilot, and then the anger gets taken out on the next person.
Yeah, and that's not appropriate either.
As a lifelong pattern.
Yeah. So you retrain the child.
Yes.
On how to express it appropriately, and you retrain your parents to be able to listen to it, and you create a different past. Kind of like bringing the kitten back to its mom, you bring the situation into a harmony and a balance where people can listen and care about each other's feelings.
But I find you really need to go through that self-anger to realize that's part of the discovery. There I was angry at myself.
Yeah.
That has to happen? Otherwise you can't process it.
You save the anger to yourself to last.
Yes, I noticed that.
Yeah.
Yes, and the other thing I found. So this morning I was processing something, And I didn't, with the time and everything, I didn't get finished in the process.
Mm-hmm.
And while we got onto the call, I perhaps had noticed I was showing some sign as if I would be getting a cold. Now, I do know I will not get a cold, but I do know this is now related to the self-anger. So I think a lot of children, when they get colds, that's an indication there's self-anger going on.
Well, I wouldn't necessarily say it was self-anger. I'd say primarily there's tears that aren't being expressed.
Oh, okay, that's okay.
And you see, the anger to the self is usually just a way of beating yourself up about something you're angry at somebody else about. And so, yeah, you can be angry at yourself, and you do make mistakes, and you do mess up, but generally, it's not the primary issue. It's usually someone else. Because who trained you to be this kind of person that would get angry at yourself all the time?
Yes. Of course. There's a conditioning there.
Exactly.
Yes. Of course.
Well, excellent. Thank you.
Okay. So I wanted to add that.
I appreciate it. And, you know, I'm just remembering that for those of you who did listen to the Lazarus audio on releasing anger, it's such a valuable resource. And if any of you want to listen to it, I really recommend, I don't know, it's like $15 or something. It's Lazaris.com, Lazaris.com, and on releasing anger. And there's a whole library, kind of like a PhD course in metaphysical psychology that you can take through that resource. It's pretty interesting stuff, especially that one, and even releasing self-pity and understanding martyrhood. That's like another major piece of information there. So there's a lot of good resources there if you want to study more about this work.
Yeah. Okay, thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Okay, let's hear from Mary Jane.
Hi, Richard.
Hi.
This kind of pertains more to last week's session. It's been a crazy week, so I haven't really done the whole process, but I just wanted to let you know that, I mean, from the minute you started speaking about anger, it mm-hmm. brought up issues with my daughter and myself for like 30 years ago.
Wow.
And it just brought up so much. I said to my husband when I was done, I've learned more about myself in the past hour or two than I have, excuse me, in all the sessions I've had with counselors and psychiatrists. And he goes, well, then why don't they do this? And I said, I don't know, but I wish they'd, you know, get on the program, you know, soon. So I just want to let you know that I'm really glad that I've you know, signed into this.
So write that down and send it in, and we'll put it in the self-created health book when I write it next year.
Okay, sounds good.
Thanks a lot.
That's all I have to say. Thank you.
I appreciate it very much.
Thank you.
Yeah, it baffles me, too, why psychotherapy didn't jump into this right away and say, let's figure out emotional causes and process them all the way through to the other side. But instead, let's talk about your dreams and, you know, let's say, what? Let's just get to the point.
Okay, we have Megan.
Hi. It's so exciting listening to everyone speak and sort of waiting for when my name is going to be called, and it's just, you know, the order that everything happens in is I'm very grateful for that. The interesting I just want to tell you how I came to know about your work is I was listening to the seminar series with Healing with the Masters.
Yeah.
And I just want to say that I'm really glad that I chose to continue to work with you, and I just wanted you to know that because that's a really good way of getting your work out there to people who might not necessarily find it in another way. And what's been really interesting is that When I worked with a student teacher, I worked with one person, you know, when you broke us up into pairs. And I got to a certain place, and then a student teacher came on, and I was working with her, and an image just came in my mind, and that was of a certain place that has a lot of resonance emotionally for me, because it's the land that my father has. He just passed away, and he left it to me and my brother. Mm-hmm. So it was like there was a leap, you know what I mean? That when we were processing, we were going through the questions, but this, the image of that place just came to me. So I, my symptom was my heart palpitations. Mm-hmm. And so when I went to the, I did the letter and writing it and putting it away, and, you know, I did that for the 3 days.
Yeah.
And then I went to the meditation.
Mm-hmm.
And when I wrote the letter, there was nothing in relation to my father. But when I did the meditation, I was in that spot in the corner of our property. And what's really interesting is I have a photograph of him from behind as an older man walking mm-hmm. there. And I have a photograph, a black and white photograph of myself about 3 years old in that exact same spot from behind.
Wow.
Walking. So it's just really interesting. So I found myself in my meditation in that spot with my father, and I was cuddling with him in a way that I never, you know, I must have done it when I was little before my parents got divorced, but I don't remember doing it, you know, after they were divorced.
Mm-hmm.
And I was not expressing anger to him. I was expressing sadness that we were taken away from that place when they got divorced. And he said to me, but I always meant to leave this to you. And the amazing thing is we were estranged for like quite a number of years, because when he got remarried for the third time, he said he was going to leave everything to his new wife. And so there's a lot of, you know, history to this. But in the meditation, I was saying to him what I felt as a child, and he was holding me and saying that he always meant to bring that to us. So it was like, it was time condensed, like what you were saying in the quantum physics, you know, that it really was happening. I really
yeah.
was sitting with him, and he really was saying that to me. And that was me as a child, and it was me now. And so there were these very gentle tears with that, you know,
yeah.
So it was the hurt underneath the anger. And the kind of feeling of fulfillment of, like, everything's okay because everything was meant to be okay, and I just didn't know it along the way.
Mm-hmm.
And then what's so amazing about it is that I got a call yesterday morning, and my mother, who lives 15 minutes away, had fallen down and hit her head and her leg. And I don't know if you remember, because this, it wasn't, it went by quickly, but when I spoke, when I called and, you know, we were talking, and I said at the end of the first Saturday call, I had to listen on the cell phone at the end when I was walking to the car, and I had to get off suddenly because there was a couple who were asking to use my phone because the woman had just fallen down on the sidewalk in New York and hit her head and her leg. And they wanted me to call the ambulance
yeah.
so that the ambulance could come. Well, I just kept thinking, what's the significance that I had this interaction with these two people, these strangers, right when I was on the call, you know? But here my mother falls down, hits her head and her leg, calls me to come and help her. So I do this, I do work with a pendulum, and while I'm doing it, I get this insight, what were you thinking right before you fell down? And she said, well, she slipped on a role. She's a painter, and she had gotten out these old paintings from the 60s. So that, you know, 50 years ago. And she had been thinking about the paintings. And so while we're there, she starts to cry, and she says, "I feel so guilty for dragging you kids around. Mm. We moved around so many places. I feel so guilty." And it was so amazing because she had, when I was doing the meditation process the day before, she was out to lunch with a friend and was telling the friend all the different places that she'd moved and lived in.
Mm.
So again, it's that quantum thing of it was happening. She was processing at the same time as I was processing without us knowing it. And then she called me up this morning. She said, "It's miraculous what you did with the pendulum. I'm all better now." Like, she couldn't even stand up when I first got there. She was on the floor. Her head, you know, I was worried she had a concussion. I worried something was broken. She said, you know, and I said, "It's not the pendulum. That's not what did it. It was your emotional, you were processing these emotions, these old emotions." Because what she had stepped on was this roll of paintings from these, you know, so she was processing really old stuff in relation to me and my brother, of feeling guilty that she hadn't taken care of us the way she felt she should have.
Yeah.
And I'm blown away about how this, you know, once you're willing to step into it and say, okay, I'm going to, you know, I keep thinking of the phrase emotional intelligence.
Yeah.
I just, the whole time I'm hearing you talk, it's like we haven't had any models, we haven't had any experience of just being emotionally intelligent, you know, of really feeling our feelings and being able to talk to each other about them and develop that, like, understanding of the nuances and enjoy them like we do, you know, food or wine or whatever. I'm just so blown away about, like, once you step into it, it just started happening. And then my daughter, so I was telling my daughter about this because she was concerned, you know, was, you know, her grandmother okay? And so I said, well, this is this whole thing. I told her a little bit about what I was doing. And she said, well, and she's 21. She said, the past 2 days, I've just been processing my whole life. And we have to go to lunch and talk about it because it's a whole long conversation.
Great.
So,
well, congratulations. That's
thank
spectacular.
You.
I mean, isn't it exciting that we can open our eyes, see the world from a completely more real point of view, and then have the outer reality shift?
Oh, my goodness. And be doing it in coherence with the people in your family. You know, and my mother is, like my stepfather says, she doesn't even know how to say what she's feeling. Like he'll say to her, "What are you feeling?" And she'll say, "I think that I need something to eat." And he'll say, "That's not a feeling. That's a thought. What are you feeling?" And then she'll say, I'm trying to figure out what to do about this problem." And he said, "That's not a feeling. That's that's a thinking."
Yeah.
And so for her to lie there and say, "I feel so guilty about dragging you kids around," and me not to have to say, it's okay, you know, but just to witness her expressing it, you know what I mean? Like, all my life, I'm like, oh, it's okay, you don't have to worry, you know?
Yeah.
Oh, it's amazing.
Congratulations. This is very
exciting.
Thank you. Yeah. Wow, so many amazing things going on for people. This is great.
Yes.
Okay, let's hear from Meg. Hello?
Oh, it's me? Hi?
Yeah.
Hello?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh, okay. I didn't know I pressed the button. I was thinking about pressing it, but I guess I should.
Well, I guess you did it subconsciously.
I guess I did, yeah. Well, I've been listening to everybody's story, and you were talking, and I'm just crying here and there, and I'm kind of overwhelmed at this point. But anyways, processing myself, this is my second time taking it, right? And then the first time I found out that my physical symptom had so many to talk about, and then, like, I think it was Karen was saying, like, too many things came up, and I didn't have time, and then I didn't want to do it, so I ditched it, right? But anyways, I got the message, and then I realized that there, my body has so many to talk about, and then there's all, you know, underlying emotions to it, so I got that far at that point. But anyways, through this time, I decided to go deeper into it. And normally, I'm quite a healthy person, and of course I have emotional up and down here and there, but again, like, my life is so good in general, so I have nothing to complain about. I'm so fortunate. Anyways, but that's how, where my stance. And I realized that through this process that I'm scared of love. Not like a relationship love or anything like that, but love as a fundamental love, I'm supposed to say. But anyways, I have a fear that if I don't know how to express, or I don't know how fit myself into it, or I don't know how to express it to it, but I have general fear to it. But as I process this, and then I go down all the steps and everything, the deeper resist I find, the harder fear I would feel. I'm like, so why am I fearing it? Why am I scared of it? And there's no definite answer to it, but I think that was my remorse part too. And I just jumped right over to the love part.
Yeah.
And I just can't express it, but we love. Like, I don't know how else to say, but I'm so grateful. And I feel so strong. And maybe you can hear, but I'm tearing out, but I don't know, this is a part I don't want to express myself, but when I talk about love, I feel this, I don't know what kind of emotion I should put into it, but I stopped being like this, and this is a part I didn't want to express, but I've found this is part of love, the deepness of love I would feel.
So,
and except crying out and stuff like that, I just didn't know how to express, but now I feel good about it too.
It seems to me that you were feeling the love all along, but you weren't letting yourself in on how much you were already feeling.
Right, exactly. That's what I found, yes.
So it wasn't like you didn't know love, you just weren't letting yourself be as real with yourself as you are now.
Yeah, so thank you, Richard. This is deep, eh?
Yeah, that's the whole point of it. That's why I congratulate everybody on the courage to take the workshop before we begin, because it's deep stuff. It isn't, we're all going to, clap our hands and sing happy songs. This is significant stuff.
Yes. I so agree with you. I really feel that. I really feel that.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Well, thank you, and thanks for sharing. That's very vulnerable, powerful stuff.
Thanks.
You bet.
Okay, we have Shane.
Sorry, I must
have...
Hi.
Hello.
Yes.
Hi, Richard.
Hi.
Hey, I have a question about the process.
Yeah, sure.
Okay, so I was working with a gentleman yesterday, and we get to the insight phase. And I guess there was a little bit of a problem there.
Okay.
He couldn't quite understand how the events that he was relating to me related to himself. And how he was directing it to himself. Do you have any questions or any kind of methodologies to, kind of help a person see how what they're talking about might be something that they are directing at themselves?
Well, the only thing I've really come up with that addresses what you're saying is when I hand the list back to them. You know, I'm one by one going through all their replies. Say, well, you know, let's see if it fits. You know, but once in a while, we really get to a point where we can't find a resonant issue, and that's happened to me less than 1% of the time, where I can't direct it back to the person. So you know, it's not a perfect system. It's what I call a real system as opposed to perfect. But I do get snagged occasionally, very rarely, but it does happen, where I cannot relate their symptoms back to, you know, something in their life.
Right.
But if you continue with the questions a little longer, sometimes you can actually hit it. Like I told you that funny story where the girl said, you know, there was a butt-headed goblin on my shoulders.
Yeah.
You know, and then all of a sudden, oh, yeah, that's the piano teacher. You know, sometimes if you get that dream image, you know, question or something, there'll be just some little piece. Or if you look thematically sometimes, you know, you kind of break it down. There's another couple clues you might consider occasionally to kind of help wean out some extra answers. You know, what did the doctor call it? You know, what was the word they used to call the condition that they're dealing with? Or just some associations with the condition itself. You know, like, what do they call the condition? Well, they call it the runs. Okay, well, what does that mean? You run? You're wanting to run away from something? You're wanting to get rid of something? You know, you can kind of do some free association sometimes with things. Sometimes that helps. But generally, the questions will get you there.
That's funny that you mentioned the goblin story again, because this was a pain that he had associated with his knee.
Mm-hmm.
And he mentioned, when we got to the imagery part of it, he mentioned it was like a troll under the bridge.
Okay.
Isn't that interesting? So, you know, it's like he had to be careful of his knee so as not to overexert it so that it would create the pain. The pain wasn't always there, only when
right.
he exerted some effort. But
he had to be careful. Had to be careful.
Mm-hmm. Yes, exactly. And so, yeah, we were trying to get at, well, okay. And he was going on about this organization and how that he's a part of, and felt that he really couldn't justify a lot of the things that they were doing, and felt that it was hurting the work that he was trying to do. And so, you know, we're trying to get to the point where he maybe had those kinds of similar feelings toward himself that he was feeling toward the organization.
Well, what I'd be asking is there a troll associated with that business that you have to be careful around?
Yes.
Is there somebody
I think that would have led somewhere.
Yeah, you just have to kind of really dig in, and it takes practice. This is not something that I didn't really say that, but it's true. You get better at this. It's going to be the investigator and the sleuth and finding, okay, what did they just say? And what are the big, exciting ones, like careful and troll? You know, these are interesting words. So where do you have to be careful in your life? You know, what do you have to be careful of? Like, here's this organization, and they don't want to hear what you have to say, so you've got to be careful. And who's the troll in that organization? And now here he is limping around, you know, being careful.
Right.
You know, so, you know, maybe you dig a little deeper and you'll find it. But almost always I've been able to find it. And once in a great while, it just didn't fit, and I can't make it work. But pretty good system by and large.
Well, I would say so too. I mean, we spent a good hour and a half with it, and I think by the time he was done, he was feeling like, that was an interesting process, and I'm sure he's going to be thinking about it for a long, long time.
But maybe when you see him again, if you do, you know, you'll go the next step, and he'll put it together.
Yes. Well, I'll let you know.
I appreciate it. Thank you very much.
And I appreciate it, Richard. Thanks.
Yeah.
Okay, let's hear from Barbette.
Hello?
Hello.
Okay, I wanted to just share with you very briefly about a combination session I did this morning before our workshop started, which was somebody who had had multiple back surgeries. Mm-hmm. The surgical wounds were left open. Actually, they weren't left open. They reopened. Okay. She has an abscess in there and multiple issues, you can imagine.
Yeah.
And so bringing her together today, very much guided to do Quantum Touch 1
mm-hmm.
at the same time as asking the self-created health question.
Okay.
And it facilitated for her an accelerated process. So when she would start asking or answering a question, she was really searching for words, and within seconds, the words would come out and the emotions would flare up, and she would say things like, oh, I didn't expect that, or, oh my gosh, I didn't even realize that. And I just wanted to share that it was the physical healing as well as the emotional healing happening all at once, and it was really profound.
Well, thank you, because I'm really wanting to get more and more feedback about how we integrate the Quantum Touch and the self-created health work together. And your experiences like that are exactly what I'm looking for, to continue learning more. I feel like, okay, I brought this stuff out, but it doesn't mean I know all about it yet.
Right. I heard you say that earlier, and I thought, well, I'm definitely going to share this with you, and I will write up a more detailed summary of what happened so that it makes better sense for you, and I'll send it to you.
Yeah, because, you know, one day I think I'm going to put something together that helps the integration between these very different modalities.
Yeah.
But they certainly work together.
Absolutely, they do. Very fascinating.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Exactly. Thank you.
Okay, Carol Lee.
Hey, thank you, Barbette, for sharing that. I'd just like to add one more component to that.
Yeah, please.
Since Barbette and I are friends and we've worked together, she's in Ohio, I'm in Texas, so we've done a lot of work together. So thank you again, Barbette, for sharing. I would like to just add that what I'm hearing from many people that are having the emotional releases and the aha moments mm-hmm. on this call last week and today is the spiritual component.
Mm-hmm.
The spiritual component to me is you can cry from a physical trauma, whether it's emotional, anxiety, anger, and you can get that out through the process that we're doing, these wonderful techniques that we're doing in the self-created health class. But what I'm sensing here today is the spiritual emotional of that deep sense of love. And Richard and Devon and Anna, I did send you an email this morning on the new workshop at the level 3, the vibrant health and how to integrate the energy essence of love and above to really come to that which is adding that component of level 2, where we really drop down into that heart love energy, clearing from the brain the essence of the debris, the psychic debris, the garbage and all that crap, clearing that out, and then using this process to really get to the essence of that spiritual love. And those are the tears I've sensed that I'm feeling and hearing today, is spiritual emotion.
Yeah, and I think that's exactly where this work, what the work is really all about.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
You know, because we have symptoms in our life, whether it's physical, emotional, financial, success issues, whatever, we've got these issues. But it's all about our spiritual growth. And so we set this whole thing up for us to learn as much as we resist. And that's where it all comes back to. And that's why the resistance is so high. And all these professionals with their haughty degrees and big offices, you know, who are avoiding their emotions as much as anyone.
Right, right. But I also really get the impression of what Barbette said, using the techniques of our basic
mm-hmm.
class
yes.
is so profound. And I would be interested, because I've heard a number of people say with all the therapies or different modalities that they've used, I would really be interested to hear about how many people in this workshop, how many times have you taken the level one class, because integrating that in strongly, you know, really can help help you stay centered, help you stay grounded. And then that level two work, how many people have taken that class and getting grounded into that
yeah.
all 12 chakras, and especially that earth chakra
yes.
or chakra number 8, which
exactly.
actually, you know, really helps connect the energy essence of your auric field to all of your whole being. So
mm-hmm. yeah.
that, which helps deepen that sense of that love connection into that spiritual realm.
Well,
so,
I feel very confident that you're going to help us figure out how to integrate the three seminars together.
I think the awakening came, and with some of my friends that may be on this phone call right now, I'm
yeah.
chuckling and it's like, okay.
Well, you know, I feel like we're going to develop more understanding as we go along
mm-hmm.
and make it even easier and faster for people. But
well,
you know,
and you're referring out to Lazarus's work, which I can
yeah.
absolutely appreciate, but I personally like to come from the space of, let's teach our practitioners and our instructors how to connect with their own personal guidance in a very healthy way, which many of them are already, but
yeah.
really have the awareness that this is coming in, this is what this means, and that sort of thing. So
well,
integrating all that. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and that's all Lazarus was ever teaching people, is how to get access to their own awareness.
Right.
And it's just that they have a clarity of communication that helps to get the understanding, but you still have to do all the work.
Well, absolutely correct. But I
right.
think in that level three class that it might be our jobs to help people really step into that arena that they can touch base with their own, that guidance.
I think that's what the self-created health is doing, is helping people access
mm-hmm.
their true guidance. And the level two class is, you know, when you find the energy and essence of what you're looking for and you bring it on through, and you're getting the spiritual guidance through that as well. Because, you know, one of the things, for those who don't know, one of the things we do in the level two class is we help people change their self-identity, not by accessing the information from some affirmation or something, but from going straight to source, straight through their higher consciousness to get the information. So people who think that there's maybe a sliver of a possibility I could ever be, do, or have something in their life, we do a meditation together with another person for 15 or 20 minutes or something. And at the end of it, people go, oh yeah, I can be that, I could do that, I could have that. Not because they affirmed it or tried to convince themselves or did positive thinking, but they accessed the information on a multi-chakra level where they brought it through. And I think this is, you know, also working on spiritual level. So I think all of it is really a spirituality. I'm not sure we'll call it level three when we do an integration, but I do think there'll be a synergy integration informational piece that will come along that will kind of help blend all the pieces together. And because everybody's putting it together themselves anyway, but this is a way that we could do it more powerfully and formally.
And with what you just said about that level two class, I'd like to share a person that was in one of my level two classes in Florida
mm-hmm.
Doing that meditation that you just spoke about.
Right.
She actually was Dr. John Upledger's coordinator planner for 18 years.
Okay.
And for those people who do not know Dr. Upledger, that he was the founder of cranial sacral therapy.
Mm-hmm.
So he's worked in this arena his whole life. He is now
right.
in a nursing home, a happy man. He thinks everybody's coming to visit him, and that part of his brain of happiness is still there.
That's good.
And still very loving. But what she saw working with him and doing the meditation, she literally saw herself opening this center, a wellness center in Guatemala, which he's already purchased the land, and she saw every part of that increment laid out for her, and that's what she's working on now. And that's what we're working on to take Quantum Touch, Quantum 1 and 2 to this part of Guatemala in the center.
Beautiful. Wow.
Isn't that awesome? I mean, when she, because she's been working in this arena for a very long time.
Yeah.
But when she did that meditation from the level two, it was awesome. It was awesome. She was in awe. She was in shock to see how it was going to come together.
Yeah, I feel like there's, you know, it's going to take me a long time to integrate everything that I've discovered. That's for sure.
Well, we need each other, don't we?
Exactly. Exactly.
God bless you. Thank you, Richard.
Thank you.
Okay, we have Sandy.
Hello, Sandy.
There, Sandy.
Maybe.
Maybe not.
Maybe not. Yeah.
Well, he's the last one.
Okay, so no one is. If anybody else wants to bring up any questions or issues or things you want to talk about, press 1 on your keypad, and we'll get to you. Right now, there's nobody with their hand raised. Ah, we got somebody.
Okay, Wendy.
Hi, Richard.
Hi.
I was speaking last week about a man who had terminal cancer, has terminal cancer, and I had mentioned that I was going to take him also through the questions this week, which I did, and have gone further to do the whole process with myself as well this week, and had some profound things happen myself, but the question I have in around this is that when you're come to an insight by the time that we were finished. I should say I did all the questions, so we seem to he identified what this core issue was or theme that was reoccurring for him and around his cancer. And what I did then, this is the part that I have a question about, is you know, if you are going to take people and help them through this process, and it seemed suitable to be doing this because of his desire to do this, and also because he's done a lot of, with being a minister, he's done a lot of counseling as well. So he's just never had a chance to do this for himself. So he's very appreciative of the questions, and it was taking him to places he said he just never had looked. And one of the things, of course, that was huge for him, which we identified, was the tolerance and the lack of expression of anger in his life, or feeling that he couldn't, which was huge for him.
Yeah, of course.
In his position, right?
Right.
So I just gave him an assignment to write the letter as the first step, and we'll be following up with him this week. Now, you know, because this is something, you know, for ourselves, but we're reaching out to also use it with people, I just want some guidance of how we can do that and teach people or help people through that process if we feel that it's the right thing to be doing.
I feel like, you know, I don't want to be glib here, but your guess is as good as mine. That your insight and the way you're approaching it with your sensitivity and your awareness of him and the situation and who you are and what he can tolerate, it's go with it. Go with it, you know, just completely trust it and let it continue to work, because that's what it's all about. And I really don't have any specifics to offer, except that it sounds like you're doing a fabulous job. And he's really grateful that, you know, you're opening him up to things that he hasn't allowed himself to feel. And how interesting that so many people are responding to the idea that we tolerate the intolerable as a way of being nice. But it's not that nice, is it?
Well, you know, was another thing that came up, talking about the steps of the process. And, you know, when we started, or just before we started the questions, he said to me, but, he said, I have this triangular way of for accessing forgiveness from God, and he explained mm-hmm. that to me, and
yeah.
and I listened, and then I said, but you know what I'm seeing here, I said, is that you're jumping to that place. I mean, you're still a physical person. You were created a physical person with your emotions and so on. And so, you know, his eyes just opened at that time, you know, realizing that he was holding, you know, so much of this in his body by what he's already experienced by releasing. So, you know, there again, by what you know, just what you had expressed earlier about, you know, we have something to gauge against as to where we're at ourselves or with other people, you know, and in his position, of course you're going to jump to forgiveness, right?
Of course.
Of course. And it just made so much sense when he said that. But I said, yes, but there's all these things to do, and I showed him the steps. He was just extremely appreciative. So.
You know, it seems to me that emotional bypass therapy is so common that I don't have to feel that. Let's jump to forgiveness. Let's jump to insight where I know that, you know, why it happened, so I don't have to feel it now. You know, it's like anything but having to go through it. It's so common. And especially, you know, for a minister or something who's just wants to be in the space of forgiveness and exemplify what he believes. But, you know, honesty, well, what did Jesus say? The truth shall set you free, right? Well, the truth is I'm pissed, okay? That's the truth. And you need to express it. You need to be real with it because that's where we are. We start with being real, and then we build from there. But everything has the foundation of emotional honesty.
Yeah, by what you said earlier, and because I've experienced this myself in my own experience with religion, and you know, and how we are often. I love what you said about emotional bypass, because we're taught to jump there. Otherwise, we're not spiritual enough.
Exactly.
We're not this, we're not that, right?
I mean, how well would it have gone over if I was honest in school and said, I'm totally bored? You know, I did that once when I was in third grade. Miss Perkins was teaching us about bird calls and having us listen to records about bird calls and bird migration. And I raised my hand and said, well, you know, the truth is I'm not really very interested in birds, and can we do some science experiments? And I spent the rest of the day in the coat room for my honesty. So, you know, we get punished for being honest, and you'll see it all around the world. You know, if a politician accidentally says what he's thinking, they call it a gaffe. Because he actually said what he was thinking instead of what was politically appropriate at the moment.
Yeah, and it's absolutely huge.
Yeah.
All of
so
our lives.
We all get punished for being honest. And yet the real damage happens when we're not honest with ourselves. Because that self-esteem, the love you earn from yourself, from the self-honesty, the self-trust, the self-responsibility, and the integrity we have. Because when you build those qualities up, then you really do love yourself. And part of self-honesty is self-created health. Because what could be more? And that's the integrity and the responsibility that lets you trust yourself. It's all built in. So self-created health is a way of building self-esteem. We never put it in the advertising, but it clearly is. I mean, how just listen to all the calls today and how the self-esteem has gone up for the people who are succeeding with the process. Tremendous.
Absolutely.
Self-esteem as a result of the work. But we didn't even mention that in the advertising. Maybe we just make mention that this course also helps build self-esteem as well.
Well, thank you, and I'm going to continue just intuitively and go through the whole process with him.
Find out how that works out. And I would not be surprised if he has some major breakthroughs and dies. Because a lot of times that's all the person was waiting for, was, you know, I want to have these breakthroughs and then leave. Because death is not the indication of success, because one teacher I worked with said death is the ultimate healer, because no one takes their wheelchair and their crutches with them. Nobody takes their cancer with them. You know, you move on, you're liberated. But the from our physical perspective, oh, we failed because they died. No, it could be a total success, because the person learned what they wanted to know, and then they left.
And you know, he is in that place of resolve with dying too, and he has talked about it with me as well. So yes, thank you very much. And I will. I'm documenting what I'm doing here. So.
Beautiful. Well,
thank you.
All right. So how are we doing, Devin?
We're good. Carol's raised her hand. Go ahead, Carol.
Hey, Richard. Carol Lee here again.
Hey.
I'd like to just share one more thing. As I was listening
Please.
To the last caller and talking about that forgiveness and succeeding in this process, what I have seen through the years, many ministers or all of us, not just ministers,
yeah.
but all of us, when we ask for forgiveness, we're working from our heart center up. So that's from our heart center up to our upper chakras. And the more we pray and lift upward, our auric field is going upward, even though in quantum touch we don't necessarily learn to study auric fields. But what I have found is they become disconnected from chakra number 8, that auric
mm-hmm.
field. And that's where you bring that in
yeah.
to the level level 2 quantum touch. It's when you're living your dream and you're in the moment of the dream and you bring that dream and you integrate that back into your body, it fully connects you to chakra number 8, which flares up and reconnects that living essence of your auric field to chakra number 8. To me, that's a real key importance of that class.
Well,
so
it's definitely one of the magic pieces.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. So that's kind of sort of one of the things I look at when I'm doing any assessment. Are they fully connected to that earth chakra with their auric field? And most airline pilots or ministers or doctors really are disconnected from them.
Exactly. Exactly.
Anyway, I just wanted to share how important that chakra number 8 and that level 2 work is.
Yeah, and truly, when you consider what happens mythologically when you steal thunder from God, from the gods, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, you end up pushing a rock up a hill and having your liver eaten out every day. It's punishment. But religion never tells you you can forgive yourself. You got to wait for God to do it, if he ever gets around to it.
Yeah.
And we are truly, in a sense, stealing thunder from the gods by doing self-forgiveness, because this is for them to do. You're not allowed to forgive yourself, but how powerful it is that you take back yourself to yourself.
Exactly.
And in the process, you really connect with how deep your love goes and how transformative that is.
Yes, and integrating that back into your own physical being is awesome.
Exactly.
Thank you.
Sure.
Okay, go ahead, Sue.
Yeah, can you hear me? Without
yeah.
a lot of static, okay. I just want to take this time right now to thank you, really from the bottom of my heart, for the information that you've been willing to share with the world. I've studied alternative medicine on my own for about 25 years and I've never come across anything that's been more powerful than quantum touch in itself. And, you know, I've looked at the Reiki and the body talk and the cranial sacral work and have always felt that they make it more complicated than it really needs to be.
Exactly,
and,
yeah.
What I truly love about you is that you've been willing to share a huge amount of free information online, and you've made your products and information affordable and accessible to everybody. And I think that's just a really huge thing. And I just appreciate that
so much. I didn't run into the quantum touch stuff. I was looking for something else in January and ran across this, and within about 15 minutes I had your video workshop, the DVD stuff, ordered so that I could start to learn it. And one thing that I would like to say is that I hope that the people that are doing this type of work truly get what intent means and how powerful intent is to every aspect of this work. And one of the things that I do that I have been having some really good success on, like I said, I only started this in January, but is to ask for the most intense healing energy from God and the universe to pull through my body to put into the person I'm working on at a cellular level.
Nice.
And flood their bodies with healing energy, and also say that my intent is to help this person heal in a very short time. My goal is to be able, you know, I was thinking the other day, doctors give medication to people and think it's going to heal them. A naturopath, which I started to do, give herbs and vitamins, you know, to people. But nobody seems to get to the core of what the problems really are. My intent is to get people in and out and be done with this.
Exactly.
I know it's a tall order, but I never go on anything that's really easy, I've seen such humongous changes in people in 3 or 4 sessions that I've had with them. I mean, taking them from the bottom to the top, that is so unbelievable that I know that it's possible. If your intent is there, anything is possible. There are no limits to this work.
Sue,
and
that is so beautiful. Thank you.
Well, you are such a kind, gentle spirit, and I want so bad to meet you.
I'm sure we'll connect one of these days.
Well, I'm really hoping so, because what you've done for the world is a much better place because of your generosity, and I love what you've done. And
well, I'm inspired by what you're doing, and my first thought is I bet a lot of other people will be inspired too. And if you can please write up your experience of quantum touch, you know, working with these people, taking them so far so quickly, we'll be happy to put that in a newsletter or a blog or something.
Oh, yeah. I, in fact, with my application that I'm sending in for the practitioner's license, I've kind of gone into it. Because I think that you should ask on the practitioner's application what is maybe one or two of the best things that you've been able to accomplish with this, because I think you would get really great stories from people as to what they do that makes a difference to them and what they do, you know, that seems to help them get to what they want to get to.
Okay, Devin, and you heard that, right?
Yep, I heard it. I'm writing it down.
Good.
And one of the other big things with me is I'm kind of a person that is pretty self-sufficient, and one of the things that I've gotten out of this is a huge sense of security to know that I can work on my family, friends, my animals, and help them facilitate their healing and make a big difference in people's lives. Because to me, the things that I've heard over this last few months several times is there's no better feeling than having somebody come to me and say, you have changed my life. You know, what you have done has changed my life. And even though I tell them, you know, it's not me that's doing it, it's your own body that's reacting so well, that I've had so many people do that I break down and cry about once a week from somebody that's telling me that this stuff is really working and they can't believe how fast they're getting better.
Spectacular. That's fabulous.
It's just unbelievable. I do have one short story that I took a class in Portland a couple months ago, and I stayed in a motel while I was there. And the first night I walked into the room, it was so strong of a bleach smell. It smelled like somebody had dropped a gallon of bleach in the middle of the floor. And I'm semi-allergic to it, and I opened the window and opened the door, and it didn't seem to leave, but eventually you kind of get used to it. And the next day, the instructor said, now, tonight when you go home, you know, I want you to run energy into your hands and find out how much energy you can build up in your hands. That's going to be your thing for the night. Well, I was laying on the bed, and I was reading a bunch of stuff, and I have a habit of raising my right hand and just kind of wafting it in the air, you know, and asking for the highest energy of the universe to come into my body. And all of a sudden I thought, I wonder if I can get this bleach smell out of the room, because it was twice as bad the second night.
Mm-hmm.
So I just started moving my hand back and forth, and I thought, I'm going to do this for 10 minutes, and then I'm going to go outside and breathe the fresh air and then come back in and see if it's gone. It was gone.
Amazing.
And I didn't even have, and what I kept saying is, please freshen this room, make the air fresh, and just move it out of the room. And I actually did that same thing about a week ago. Some gal opened up some cleaner while I had somebody I was working on, and she's allergic to it, and she started sneezing. So I did the same thing. I just kind of put my hands in the air and said, remove the smell from the air and freshen the air. And she said, it worked. I can't smell it. So, like I said, when I said there's no limits to this, I mean, if we can change the molecular structure of water, what are we doing to the world?
Exactly. Well, that's why the new book is going to be called The New Human, you know, because we're really discovering that we don't even know what our potentials are.
Oh, I know. I've had a lot of great things in my life, but I just want so much to thank you for everything you've done and for people. And I know that this stuff is changing the world. I know it is.
Well, let's just keep speeding up the process and getting more of the world to change, because it needs it really badly right now.
Well, and I know it does. And I every night go to bed and put the world in my hand and everybody I know and breathe energy into them and just say, God, protect us from what's coming, you know, and make us safe and clean the air and whatever we need. And I think it just has a profound effect on people.
Well, thank you so much, Sue. I really appreciate it.
Well, and I do have one question. This morning you were speaking about loving the baby inside, holding him and her.
Right.
And some people that I have worked with don't know their inner child. And so I kind of try to reintroduce them to them. Then we go to the baby part. But because they're protecting the baby. My question is, do we go directly to the baby part before or after we do the work with
This is actually the self-created health class, and I don't really want to go into other quantum touch too much right here.
Okay.
But you can go any way you like, really. That's sort of the answer to the question.
Okay.
All right.
Okay. Well, thanks so much.
Thank you. Wow, that's fantastic.
Yeah. Okay, let's hear from Karen.
Yes, hi again.
Hi.
Just because we have some extra time, it seems. One of the things I noticed this week, I went to a large conference, and I was kind of in a way expecting, okay, when do I meet the people that I don't agree with? And I never met any of those people. I only met the people I totally clicked with, and we always had, how can I say it, interactions in terms of that led to growth.
Uh-huh.
So where both parties would gain from. So there was no blocking of no, you're kind of wrong, you're out to lunch with your ideas, none of that. It was all, yeah, that's great. Yeah, these are the new ideas. Yeah, this is how it should go. Yeah, we should take some more. And the other thing I found was there were also people where I had information that I wasn't even aware of, that I had information that somebody absolutely needed. That was pretty neat. So there was a
I don't know, from my experience, I didn't even run into the people that I didn't
so
agree with.
What do you attribute that to?
I must have cleared something. I don't
I
know
guess,
what it is.
So you've been doing the process work, and now you don't even attract confrontation.
Yeah, there's a way of
Nice.
It was very
nice
pleasant.
Work.
It was the whole experience, the interaction with the people was phenomenally pleasant.
Well, congratulations. Another positive benefit.
And another project I'm working on with a very tight deadline, and things are constantly clicking. There's this team developing around us. All of a sudden, you know, this process is completed, where do we go now? And then another person shows up and says, well, I'm an expert in this, I can help you with this now to finish this process. And then you will get it done in time. So there's this huge teamwork effort happening where things are always clicking. Now I have another project.
Okay, we get the idea. But
would go into confrontations, a lot of the functional things. But I have not this week. I wasn't working on that, except for the one person. But we always get along. We're a team. That's fine. So I haven't had the experience yet how the other project will play out.
Well, keep working with it and let us know. But I need to move on to the other calls with questions. Okay.
Okay. Let's hear from Susan.
Hello.
Hey.
Hi. I'm fairly new to Quantum Touch, and I'm just had a question about the process. The first issue that I worked with my partner has been awesome, not returned, and so I proceeded on to working on my right leg and was very successful. The pain left. Everything was good. And then about 24 hours later, I bumped it with the fridge door. And pain came back into the leg.
Yeah.
And my theory is that I need to do the process all over again and go deeper, that maybe it's calling me back.
Yeah, I think that when the basic quantum touch is not getting the job done or it doesn't get lasting results,
mm-hmm.
that we really need to look deeper. And if you did an emotional process with self-created health and then re-injure it right away or something like that, boy, that's screaming that, yes, there's more there.
There's
you know?
More there. Go deeper.
Yeah, go deeper, process more intensely, release the anger more fully, the pain. See, here's something really basic.
Okay.
What does pain mean in the body? It means pain in the emotion. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Hurt in the body is hurt in the emotion. Hurt and pain. You hurt yourself and now you feel pain. You're hurt. You're experiencing pain, okay? So you go in and you release those intensities and find out what it's about and go in and do that. And, you know, there was research done years ago that I was reading about that said that many people who get into auto accidents will actually re-break the same bone again and again.
Okay.
And part of it is that they are communicating to themselves something. Maybe they broke the leg the first time in an auto accident, and the next time skiing, or the next time doing something else. They keep re-breaking the same bone because they're trying to give themselves the same message. And instead of just learning how to read the message, you know, we've tried to do everything under the sun, you know, to bypass having to figure it out and to deal with these specific emotions. So go for it. You know?
Okay, because it was a very deep emotional release on the leg. But obviously, when you're like you say, when you're doing it yourself, there might be some glitches that you're not answering for yourself.
Okay, here's something to consider. This could be valuable.
Okay.
When you re-injured it the second time, what's different?
Well, yeah, I'm interested. I haven't done it yet.
Yes,
so.
But right. What's different about the pain? What's different about the symptoms? What's different about the injury? What's different about everything you can find with all the questions? And what I'm guessing is going to happen, and I think this is going to be very accurate for you, is you're going to say, oh, it's the same theme, but
uh-huh.
oh, there was this piece of this theme that I didn't deal with the first time.
Okay.
That you'll find, you know, a painful little gift you got there to remind you, oh, there was that other part I hadn't dealt with. Like I talked about the guy with the allergies.
Yes.
And every time his allergies came back, there was another message about his about that whole emotional part of his life that he wasn't processing.
Okay.
I think you're going to find another nuance to, or another aspect to the issue you had been dealing with. Probably not a completely different issue, but probably just an aspect to it that had gotten overlooked the first time.
Oh, thank you.
You bet.
Thank you, and I can't wait to learn and grow more in this field. It's awesome.
Yeah, and how many people re-injure themselves and say, I can't wait to get in and find out what's in there?
Yes, it's like, woohoo.
Woohoo, I hurt myself. Wow, this is exciting.
It is.
Yes.
Anyway, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Okay, we have a question or comment from Marcel.
Hi.
Yeah, hi again. I would like to address a theme that comes up also in other conversations about traditional medicine,
mm-hmm.
not addressing a lot of variables. But in doing so, I really want to acknowledge the MDs,
sure.
all the people that are using energy psychology, energy medicine.
Sure.
And I've worked with some MDs, and maybe it's because of my degrees and my
mm-hmm.
professional background,
yeah.
but they're crying for assistance. And I'm just visualizing the future, you know, graduates of Quantum Touch and level three, not necessarily level three, but the self-created health.
Yeah.
There's like the field is so open, and there are a lot of them are also crying for assistance and for supplementation. And in the San Francisco Bay Area, there have been a number of MDs working with, like, the interactive guided imagery, overlapping with what we're learning with you at this point, not necessarily completely so, but
right.
they've been so successful, and they've been documenting their findings that Blue Cross has been covering them for
wow.
about 15 years. So the field is ripe, and like we may start with California where change happens, but the openings, the possibilities are immense. So not only for our own personal transformation, but for work that really would have high leverage in working in clinics.
Well, I'm very excited about those possibilities, and sometime if I ever get invited to speak to a room full of physicians, I'll be more than happy to do so.
Okay, I'll ask some of my colleagues to make that one happen.
Yeah, fly up to the Bay Area and talk and demonstrate.
Yeah, like, you know, UC Med Center, they have an MD who has gotten into it, and she might be an incredible link for you.
Sounds
so
great.
So you will be possibly speaking not only to established MDs, but to students who would be differently receptive.
Yeah, I'd love to go to a med school sometime and talk and demonstrate there.
Okay, I'll see what I'll do.
All right, well, thank you. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
Wow.
Okay. Yeah, I think that's the last comment so far.
So how are you doing, Devin?
I'm fabulous.
Great.
Thanks.
So work is even working for you too, huh?
Yes, of course.
Yeah.
Many times over.
Yes, you've been doing a lot of good stuff with it, I understand.
Mhm.
Yeah, so anybody want to be on the call? This is a good time to do it. We've got how much time left?
About 20 minutes.
20 minutes, so this is a good time for you to check in. All right, we have somebody on who wants to be on the call again.
Megan? You there, Megan?
Well,
hello.
Hello.
Maybe not.
Well, so I've really
kind of... Oh, wait, here we go.
Okay.
Wait, Megan, are you there?
Yes, can you hear me?
Okay.
Yes, we can now.
Yeah, we can
okay.
now.
Okay. Hi. Because this is brand new to me,
yeah.
And I think it's probably helpful for everyone, so I'm not concerned about that, but I'd like you to just go over the self-created health, the process in terms of what I found was that there is a kind of a internal process that's going on that carries on. Like they're not the steps are not separate from each other. They actually, one moves into the other.
You've noticed that.
Yes.
Yes, they really do. And that's why it seems so bizarre that other people haven't figured it out, because they always flow to each other.
Like the remorse, you know, like in the process of writing the letter,
yeah.
I found the self-remorse coming out when I wasn't even trying to go there. I wasn't looking at, you know, what's the next step.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And and so is that how you came to it from being within the process?
What happened was I didn't really have all the pieces put together for myself, but I just kept looking at all the different modalities I could find, and I kept thinking, well, that doesn't make any sense to jump to this step. And then one day I just sat down and wrote down everything I could think about in terms of all the steps, and in a few minutes it was like totally obvious. Well, of course, first you have to do this, then you do that, and you go through the steps, and it turned out that there were 7 steps to the process. Mm. And the last 3 steps are just a flow, total flow. Because once you get to the remorse and the forgiveness, then the self-love and then the spiritual self-love, they just tumble into each other automatically at that point. Like rolling a ball down a hill. It's just automatic that it happens. But it's a little trickier to get to the emotional causation. That doesn't happen naturally for people. And then once you got the causation, then it's natural that you want to express and release those emotions. But then it's not so natural to come up with the insight, I did this to me. That's a pretty big one. Byron Katie does that very well, where she helps people get to realize, did you do that to somebody else, or are you doing it to yourself? She does a pretty good job of that one, but then I don't like the rest of the process as much.
And do you find that the places where we're kind of, as a culture, are stuck, you see a pattern in that? Like, you know, you've been talking about that in different ways. Like,
we're totally stuck, as you know, culturally speaking, because people aren't going to acknowledge the intensity of their emotions, or they're just going to act them out, which is the worst, when people just act out the emotional anger and vent it inappropriately.
Right.
And then from there, it just gets, then instead of expressing emotion, it gets into blame and punishment. Mm-hmm. And now we have political, economic, social, environmental system where people aren't listening and are dealing with appropriately with the information that's there. We have people in politics who are just completely making up information now. And they're getting really angry about stuff that isn't even true. Just complete crazy making going on culturally.
I guess my question is then to bring that back to that influence of the culture on us as individuals, and where we get stuck in that process. That's my question.
Well, what we need to do is just continuously keep clearing every time we stub our toe, every time we find ourselves, you know, doing something or feeling something that just feels so off within ourselves, that we do some self-healing on it. And that, you know, the world is... You see, if you can clean up the smell of bleach in the motel room, and you can help someone else experience some tremendous fast growth, and you can heal some of your own issues, we don't know how far our influence goes. So we just keep working on ourselves and allowing ourselves to continue to expand our sphere of influence.
Like, for example, like what happened with my mother.
Okay.
You know, and she's expressing that, you know, which I saw as remorse. She was saying she felt guilty, but I heard her as expressing remorse.
All right, yeah.
It, you know, then it occurred to me, am I supposed to go, you know, lead her further along with that or just let it be? You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah,
she's in that process, and maybe it's just natural that she's in that process
at that point. It sounds very natural at that point. And if she chooses to engage in a self-created health type process, then she could go a lot further with it. But as you choose to continue clearing all your stuff, you'll notice that the people around you respond differently to you. You know, there's an understanding that's pretty widespread. People talk about unconditional love, which is a very rare phenomenon as I understand it. But the unconditionally loving person is not the one who forgives anybody who spits on them. The unconditionally loving person is a person who never encounters a reality where somebody would consider spitting on them.
Mm-hmm.
Because they're not attracting that vibration into their sphere.
Mm-hmm.
So you don't have, the unconditionally loving person doesn't have to forgive anybody because they're not encountering anybody who needs forgiving. So
yeah,
if we continue to process ourselves, we continue to create a sphere where it's reflecting our states of consciousness.
Mm-hmm. Which is the way you're dealing, which is what you're doing with this, is recognizing that we're creating that, whatever we're feeling, and we're feeling it down into the level of the physical.
Yeah.
We've created that.
And you've seen it in the behavior of your mom.
Mm-hmm.
How awesome is that? And then you say, well, what else could I be experiencing it? You know, what else is possible, right?
Mm-hmm. I just had something, it occurred to me, it was kind of funny. Why, you know how you go past those signs in front of churches?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, they have some little quote to try to get you to come in.
Right.
And the one was down in the mouth, and Noah got out all right. Feeling down in the mouth, and then Noah got out all right. You know, Noah in the whale. And
Jonah.
Jonah got out all right.
Yeah.
And what was so interesting was I was doing my process was I kept feeling my mouth being pulled down at the corners. And, you know, it's just funny how when you talk about something manifesting, you know, it was like there's this sign just as I'm going by. And that is something that's changed. Like there's the physical thing of the pain, but there's also our expressions on our face.
Right.
You know, it's an emotional expression too. And that is shifted for me. But yes?
And just keep watching and notice how as you change, the world changes around you.
Yeah. But when you look at people's faces, you can really see the patterns of continued feelings, you know?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, the hologram of the reality is everywhere. And as we shift ourselves, the outer reality will shift too. That's why, you know, those who are the wisest tend to say we create our reality. And
mm-hmm.
the only fine print is that there is no fine print. But you can't take responsibility for the larger reality until you've taken responsibility for the very small reality. And as you start to see the circle or sphere of your influence growing ever so slightly, that's the right direction to move in. But and we continue to do that more and more and self-created health. Hey, what do you think about the idea? And then people are kind of talking about it today, and it's kind of beginning to sink into me, if we call self-created health level 3. So raise, hit number 1 if you, no, I'm sorry, hit number 2 if you like that idea. Just kind of a survey here. A lot of people like the idea. So I
don't know if I'm still on, but I do like the idea of calling it self-created health, because there are a lot of us who are who want to go out and heal other people and before we really look at our own stuff. And I think it's really important in some ways it's a self-standing.
Yeah, it should be. I totally agree. I just kind of like the idea that people see it as included in the field of what they're going to learn. But I also like the idea that it remains its own thing.
Which I think is one of the reasons that even though I hadn't done any of the other work with you, I was drawn to do this, because I felt like it was an amazing entry point, whatever.
Oh, it totally is, yeah. Mm-hmm. And now that you've experienced the other parts or next step of Quantum Touch, you'll be blown away by level two when you get around to it.
Mm-hmm.
It's just beyond.
Mm.
It's 3 to 5 times faster than level one.
So are there any just things that you would want to say to someone who was beginning the self-created process?
Well, it's what I always say, which is, you know, if they want to look for emotional self-responsibility, they want to find the emotional causes, and they want to process those emotions, you know, it's a journey that takes some courage, but the rewards are phenomenal.
Yeah.
And I really appreciate anybody willing to go through it. And it's not like I don't experience, I mean, I experience resistance when I go, oh, crap, I gotta do self-created health again because there's something coming up for me and I've got to dig in all over again. And so maintaining the humility for me is important that, I'm willing to look again and see what's there.
Mm-hmm.
But sometimes I don't want to have to do that again, but there it is. It's important to actually do that.
Well, I think that's why it's important to have this as part of, if people are learning this to do for other people, that it's constantly, it's, you know, physician, heal thyself.
Sure. Excellent. Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Okay, I put everybody's hand down, but I see one hand raised. Oh, Carol Lee.
Hey, Carol.
Hi. I'd just like to share with the last caller and also the poll that you just took. My personal opinion, which probably means nothing, but
no, it means a lot.
I just want to share that with you. Studying energy healing for probably almost 20 years, many, many, many different modalities. Quantum touch truly is an answer to a prayer.
Yeah.
It is one, it is the most effective, the simplest and most affordable modality that you will find. It enhances anything that anybody is already doing. And self-created health is an awesome, awesome modality, workshop, and great techniques, but we cannot heal anyone else. And if you could just take the level one workshop, it will absolutely give you more of an awareness of what this whole program is about and about energy healing and healing thyself. So I just would like to share that very strongly.
Well, thank you. I get you have strong feelings about that.
I have more than strong feelings. It is so important that we use our God-given breath, the light that our Creator gave us, number one, to expand our own light, which will automatically start clearing our own debris, our own issues, that we can stand in that light and express that without saying a word.
It's definitely an essential piece of who and what we are that's been lost or forgotten.
Exactly. That life, and you use it so beautifully, the life force energy is key.
Yeah, it really
staying
is.
Connected to source and bringing that through your breath, which is unlimited.
Yeah.
So thank you for allowing me to share again.
Well, thank you, Carol. Wow.
Okay, we have Marcel again.
Hey, Marcel.
Marcel again. I did not vote for calling it level 3, even though
okay.
I called it that way.
I don't think I will.
I just
liked the idea of everybody learning it, but I think it really does stand on its own. And that's why we have no prerequisites for taking this workshop.
Which is awesome. And I was thinking about, like, if you really want to reach health practitioners,
yeah.
whether it's MDs or people in that field, they may not want to take level
yeah.
1 and 2 first.
Exactly.
So it really does need to stand on its own as it now is.
I agree.
It can open the door for the rest. But the whole energy field that we also create, you know, whether we use the breath, whether we use whatever, is also coming from love. That's part of the the healing modality of anyone. And whatever research was doing on various psychotherapists, no one school stood out as being more effective. It was the energy of the therapist that really made the difference.
Yeah, I think we'll promote it more as the missing piece in the holistic health movement. It's the big piece that's been missing all along.
It really is missing, was missing, and it's also I see it as integrative.
Yeah, it's totally integrative.
Yeah.
And then we'll learn how to integrate it with the level 1 and 2. That's one of my
exactly.
next projects to figure that out.
Yeah. All right.
Yeah. Thank you so much. Yeah.
All right.
Okay. Meg, go ahead.
Oh, did I press it again? I haven't.
Yeah.
You just like saying hello. Hello, Meg.
I guess so. Hello. Well, it's been wonderful.
Oh, thank you.
No, I don't have any questions. Thank you.
Okay. So we have anybody left online?
No, anybody?
Well, this has been a great, great time. We're just about at the end of the timeline as well, too, right? Oh, we have somebody.
Yeah, Asako just raised her hand.
Okay. Hi.
Go ahead, Asako.
Hi. Hi, Richard.
Yeah.
Oh, I just, you know, I was listening everything today, and I haven't had time to work on my, you know, my own issues.
Right.
Since the last session, but
mm-hmm.
I know, you know, what exactly I have to do now, and I want to do now, and you know what I will feel once you know I finish my work. So thank you very much.
Oh, you're so welcome, and. And I think this is one of the really excellent things about this whole workshop is that it really gives you the map.
Mm-hmm.
And even if you haven't done the work or you didn't get around to it, you know exactly where to go. You know exactly what to do.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. And, you know, yes, this is, I already know where I have to go and see.
Yeah, exactly.
Thank you so much.
Well, thank you. Okay.
Okay.
Oh, wow. Well, this is great. And we'll be recording, we'll make a recording of this available as soon as we can, get it out to you folks. And just want to thank everybody for being on the call and making this a great little workshop. And keep using it. And, oh, please send in your quantum touch stories and let other people know about the self-created health. And, you know, if you want to write a little blurb about any of the quantum touch workshops or what kind of successes you're having, we'd love to put them in the newsletter. So just want to thank everybody so much for being involved in this. It's been really wonderful. Anything you want to say, Devin?
No, not today.
Okay, well, thank you, Devin, for making this available. Maybe we can all do a big thank you now.
Did you just hear me?
You said not today.
Oh, okay, because then something funky happened. Okay, I'm putting everybody on mic. Ready?
All right.
Go.
All right.
Thank you.
This was fantastic.
Love you too. Many blessings.
Everyone.
Thank you. Thank you.
Amazing how many of these I can hear clearly. Thank you, everybody. Love you.
Thank you.
Thank you.